720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I want to say a beautiful day. It is unseasonably temperature specific, I think, right to the season. You know, Camille in the booth, we've got you back here. Great to have you here. 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. We've been pretty lucky. You know, we haven't had a lot of inclement weather, but this is just about what you'd expect. I think it was a little bit warm the last couple days. You know, we're going to do our own little Tom Skilling here, but I think this is just about what you're looking for. And when I heard Bob Kessler, you know, and he is the bearer of what I think would be pleasant tidings. Typically, snow in the forecast is things are things that people kind of cringe, but they're looking. This could be perfect, right? Snow on Christmas. Oh, yeah. People want that.
Talked to Tom yesterday on the Brian Noonan show, and he's saying snow for Christmas. So
is that you know, because he is in that setting. He is almost like the weather-related Santa Claus. You know,
he is.
Lots of people sitting on his virtual weather lap saying, you know, hey, what would you like? And then they say, I'd like, you know, a white Christmas. And he says, thanks, little boy.
He can make it happen. He is, I think, Tom Skilling is Father Nature.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Could you see him, you know, instead of, and I think, you know, we're in a new age here, especially on the media side, and, you know, some of the traditions can fall by the wayside, especially if you can kind of be that cutting edge and break with some of those traditions. And, you know, everyone thinks of weathermen typically, right, in a suit, right? He could do, what would Father Weather, because I'm thinking of a Mother Nature kind of feel, right? Maybe some leaves in the hair, but he's Father Weather. What would he wear? A toga, probably,
just
right?
Him how he is.
Oh, so he'd still have the suit on?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I would think maybe he'd do more of kind of like the heat miser, like Mr. Mr. Freeze kind of look, you know, depending on what was going on with the weather. What is going on is it is just a few days before Christmas, so excited to be with you guys. And an eclectic blend of guests and shows and topics, and we're going to talk about some of those things coming up a little bit after the first break. We're going to have Kyle Petty on. He's going to talk to us about the end of the season, some cool things, some magical stuff that's happening for him. Of course, Richard Petty, as they get into Christmas, and coming up a little bit after that, they've just designated the locations for the Kyle Petty ride, this charity ride across America that he's been doing for 24 years to support Victory Junction Gang. A lot of drivers, racers, people, motorcycle enthusiasts, people that just love traveling, and certainly people that love kids get involved and support that. Now, Camille, I know that you're not a big car person on the driving side, but what about motorcycles? Would you ever consider maybe dipping your toe into the into the Easy Rider kind of thing?
No, it scares me.
How about a moped?
Moped maybe.
Motorized bicycle?
I did fall off of a moped once, but it was parked.
What? Okay, all right.
I lost my balance.
All right. Well, people are going to be on the road, you know, out to relatives and friends for Christmas, so we're looking forward to a little bit of that. We'll be doing some of that this weekend. It's kind of a weird tweener zone. You know, you've got Christmas on a Monday, and so Camille, I know the listeners have been texting in, and you can too, 312-981-7200, asking what is Camille doing for the holidays, and, you know, what are you doing? I know before we got on the air, you mentioned that you have a crazy Serbian holiday. Does that just mean unusual or kind of unique?
Like, people don't know what it is when I bring it up, pretty much.
What is it?
It's called Slava.
Okay.
And so each family, you know, you could have a Slava in December, like my family does, or you could have it in July. So it depends just like what patron saint your family has. So our saint is Saint Nicholas.
That's not a bad one.
No.
He's like
that's an
A-list saint.
People know who he is.
That's not like Saint Larry,
right?
Or something.
So when I bring Saint Larry, no, I don't know when Saint Larry's is. Might be in like April. But so we just eat a lot of food, make some lamb, hang out. It's great.
Music, any traditional dances? Is there gift giving involved?
So no gift giving, but the music, tumbada music.
Okay.
It's called. And then the food's a big part of it too.
Nice.
So, yeah, and people travel to us, bringing it into the show.
Right.
Travel to us for the food.
Some of them potentially on the road.
Yes.
Right.
To Chicago. So.
Nice. All right. Well, we're going to have to recap that when we get done. Of course, we'll recap Christmas and any of your thoughts as well. And you can add your text in. And as always, you can become a big winner. And under the tree, you could have a $25 gift card to Bona Beef for being the bona fide ride of the show. And the way to be a part of that is all you have to do is send in your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. We put them all into a bucket/hat/receptacle/hypothetical device. And we pick one out. And that is the winner for the show. And you can send a text. If you send the text, you can send a picture along with. It doesn't hurt. You can talk to Camille. She'll write them down. We'll share them during the program as well to be the bona fide ride of the show. So many great ones throughout 2017. So excited to share some of these last ones here, these last couple weeks coming up. After the news at 2:30, we're going to have Ron Ben Israel. He is the sweet genius, and people are going to be on the road from Chicago taking classes with him in New York. You know him from Food Network. He was a longtime cake guru for Martha Stewart, an amazing guy, one of the best in the business. Talks a little bit about social media, some of the excitement of working in the cake world. So that will be cool. And then Greg Alonzo, this is the big gift. And I know, Camille, you and I talked that your dad's been, he's got a car, he's got a Corvette, right? He's been working on for a long time. He hasn't been able to push it past that kind of that threshold into like, hey, it's done, let's go drive it around. Mm-hmm. It's been a number of years, because sometimes these things can, projects can take a while. And I think that's one of the big gifts that you could give someone, even if it's future,
totally,
is the opportunity to finish your hot rod or to kind of finish that custom car situation. And Greg Alonzo from Speakeasy Customs is going to be in studio with us a little bit later on in the program and talk about the kind of the actual nuts and bolts, no pun intended, of doing that, and then how people can get involved. If you've got a car that you want, he'll find it, he'll fix it, he'll have it for you. If you've got one that you're trying to finish, they will definitely do that. And they're some of the best in the game at doing that as well. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Kyle Petty joining us from, I'm pretty sure he's North Carolina, maybe Command Central for Richard Petty Motorsports. Keep it here. It's Dane on the road on 720 WGN. Church
guide, church bound. Hi, this is Kyle Petty, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. That's a fact, Jack. Angels fly,
angels fall. 720 WGN live on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us, we've got one of the all-time favorite personalities of NASCAR, one of the first families of motorsports, from his time driving on the track to being the lead voice for the great NASCAR and NBC coverage to riding the roads of America on his Harley, raising awareness and funds for Kyle Petty's charity ride across America. The one and only Kyle Petty, welcome back to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
This is kind of the time to decompress, take a breath, enjoy family, friends, the holidays, all that kind of stuff. But I know from people that I've talked to, some contemporaries, certainly there's a lot of new, different, exciting things to look forward to coming up in 2018. But is there still kind of a glow off of that championship broadcast? People say, you know, the Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl. You guys really had a real, at least it felt like it to me and so many of our listeners, Super Bowl with that final NBC broadcast in Miami.
You know what? You have a good broadcast when you have a great race, and that's how simple it was. I think, you know, when we go back to that race, and so many things happen. You know, from when they showed up and NASCAR said we're going to have a tire limit, everybody being disgruntled for a couple of days about that, then NASCAR kind of waving that, then we dropped the green flag, and it looks like it's going to be Truex. It looks like it's going to be Kyle Busch. Oh, my gosh, where did Brad Keselowski come from? Here's Harvick in the middle of it. And then, you know, I think the 18 team did a great job. Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens did a great job of changing the complexion of the race with one of their pit calls, and it put everybody else in another box. And they were going to get beat by Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens. They were going to win the championship if the race had played out at that point in time. But a caution comes out. Cole Pearn makes a great call, and then it comes down to a simple playground game of one-on-one. And it's Kyle Busch against Martin Truex, and Martin Truex and those guys did a phenomenal job. And you know, when you look back on the season, you think they're the ones that deserve the championship, but either one of those guys would have been great champions. But it was a phenomenal year, and especially the last 10 or 15 laps. When you end on a season like that on anybody you work for, but especially NBC, then it makes you feel good.
You can talk about all the times where people, you know, feel like they deserve it or they put in the time or whatever, but in racing, anything can happen. You know what I mean? Anything can happen. And this was one of those times you try to hype things, and obviously for the media, you try to make it as exciting as possible and kind of share, you know, the kind of things that listeners, viewers can look forward to. But this was 100% as advertised. I mean, you could not have drawn it up with a better Hollywood script than that. Certainly, you know, at the end where they had to make those adjustments, you know, he's able to hold off Kyle, and then you've got all that human dilemma. I think you guys, and hats off to you, because I think a lot was on your shoulders too. A lot is happening on the track, but to be able to translate that, all of those storylines, all of those things that make it compelling, I think that was on you. So congratulations. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I listen, the entire NBC group, from Rick Allen and Jeff Burton and Steve Letarte, those guys, all the pit reporters, Dale Jarrett, Chris Devoda, everybody. It's a great group of people. The NBC group is a great group of people. And, you know, it's funny. Once the race starts, you have that opportunity to remind people of all the ups and downs that Furniture Row and Martin Truex and Cole Pearn and that team had gone through on a personal level. And I think that changed the narrative for a lot of race fans. They may have not have been the biggest Truex fan, but by the end of the day, yeah, they were pulling for him.
When it comes down to the broadcast side of it, silly season coming up and a lot of excitement there, a lot of, you know, kind of iconic name drivers that have been like heroes in the sport for so long, kind of leaving, whether it's on their own terms or just kind of a testament to the change in the sport or retiring. Is it the silly season is almost kind of for the broadcast side too, as great a driver as you were, you are great or greater as that kind of voice of the sport and the personality in the broadcast booth. Have you guys talked about that? It's like, we've got some great people with some great insight to share the broadcast. Where are we going to, are they going to get rides this year on the TV side?
Well, we know Dale Jr. is, right? And we're excited about Dale Jr. coming to NBC for sure. But you know what? And look, I am all for, and I will say this, just as in the sport, young blood coming in. And you know what? If I have to step aside to let Danica Patrick or Dale Jr. or some of those guys, listen, it makes it a better sport for the fan. And first and foremost, it's a job, but I love the sport. I want to see the sport move forward, and I want to see more fans and more people be involved in the sport. And I do believe as we move into, you know, especially the next 5 or 6 years, you've got Jimmy Johnson, you've got Kevin Harvick, guys like that that do a phenomenal job and have done a phenomenal job filling in on different broadcasts and stuff. And hopefully there'll be places for them. And again, hey, it's the nature of the beast, man. Guys get old, they get moved out. I'm an old guy. I'll get moved out at some point in time. That's part of the game. But as long as it makes it interesting to sit at home and watch it on TV, I'm all for it.
Oh, no, trust me. And if I could echo the sentiment of so many fans and listeners and viewers and all, so you're safe. You're safe. It's some of the, you know, other situations where you try to find ways to weave them in. You're right, because they are compelling personalities and they've got such cool insight too, you know, and kind of, you know, recent interaction with a lot of the drivers. And so it'll be fun to see, you know, some of those personalities and drivers get worked into that. When it comes to riding now, one of the big things, kind of your heart, right? The passion of what it is that you do. So much happens on the track. You love the sport, but you love the sport of racing, awareness and sharing, getting out there with people. You're a people person with America. So let's talk about Kyle Petty's charity ride across America. You're gearing up. You're choosing the locations. You're going to be on the road in no time.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, that's the last week of April, first week of May this year. This will be our 24th year of doing the charity ride across America. 2017, we left Portland, Oregon. 2018, we're leaving Portland, Maine. We're going from Portland, Maine over to Albany, New York, then down. We're visiting where the great Woodstock concert was. We're going down through there. Then we're swinging over towards Pocono, Pennsylvania, and swinging down by Nazareth. And hopefully we're going to visit the Martin Guitar Factory and do some of that stuff. And we go from there over to Winchester, Virginia, and then down to the homestead, and then on into to Victory Junction. So we do it over 6 or 7 days. We're visiting New Hampshire Motor Speedway, Pocono Motor Speedway. We're going to my father's museum. We're going to Woodstock. We're going to the Martin Guitar Factory. And we're going to throw in a couple other things in there, too, along the way. Or surprises we haven't let out yet to our riders. So we'll let that out first. But there's a couple of things that are going to start happening.
You know, how does it happen as far as the choosing of the locations? Is it you? Do you throw a dart at a map and say this? Or are these places that you're thinking 2-3 years ahead? You're like, oh, we got to get there sometime. How does that happen?
You know, it's funny. This year we picked Portland, Maine, just because we've been to Portland, Oregon. We thought it'd be funny to go Portland, start in Portland both years, just on opposite sides of the country. But a lot of our riders, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, have wanted us to do a ride in the northeastern United States. And we have just really stayed away from that area because it's so populated, so hectic. It's a lot easier to ride out west and ride in Texas and ride places where there's not as many cars and not as many people on the highway. But this year we decided, yeah, let's do it. Let's go ahead and figure out what we're going to do. And we've been working on this ride for a couple of years, trying to figure out the best roads, trying to figure out the cities that we wanted to go to. So a lot more work has gone into this year's ride probably than in the past.
And I know that people can support it, you know, go online. We'll have those links up at WGNradio.com. But for those people, you know, that are listening now that someday, maybe if it's this year, maybe next year, want to get in, maybe it's their bucket list, right, to get in on one of these rides. How can people participate and ride along with you?
Yeah, just go to, right now, you can go to our website, which is CalPetyCharityRide.com. You can follow us on Twitter, which is KP Charity Ride, Instagram, Facebook, it's all KP Charity Ride. So follow us there to find out, you know, and we're always posting links back to the office and back to our website on if you want someone to send you an email on an application, if you're interested in learning more about what we've done, where we're going, what the future holds for this. And obviously, if you go to Victory Junction, the camp, our camp that obviously that's what the ride is all about. It supports Victory Junction and sends kids to camp, and you can go there, and there's a link back and forth. So to learn what the ride does and how it does it, and then to learn where the money goes, you can go to victoryjunction.org.
People think of you, obviously, we mentioned early on, you know, one of the first families of motorsports, you know, Richard Petty, obviously yourself as a driver. People identify you with NASCAR and cars. The last time we talked, you know, you shared that really, if you had your druthers, you're a motorcycle guy, right? And so you get to live kind of that part of your lifestyle on a regular basis, certainly through the charity ride. But also, too, you mentioned on this one, Woodstock, you know, one of the most kind of, you know, iconic concert locations of all time. It is American history, and the Martin Guitar Factory. Nobody does it better than they do. And I got to see something online of you doing one of your kind of original songs. You're good at this. You're a good singer. Is this a thing that you maybe build into maybe some of the NBC broadcasts, an album, maybe go on tour? Talk a little bit about the music.
No, the music stuff is, listen, I've been playing guitar since I was 12 years old. I was a band geek when I was in high school. I played the saxophone in the band. So I've always been around music and been very, very fortunate to grow up and drive a race car and meet so many people in the music industry and stuff. And I've got friends that play, and sometimes when they're in Charlotte, I'll go out with them and hang out with them and play a little bit. So, but that's about it right now. If I decide on a music career, I promise you I'll call you and let you be the first to know, so we'll put it out there.
Well, we're going to play some of like Church and Alcohol. We're going to have that as the bumper going into as we let you go. People want to know, how do you celebrate? Last time we talked about how you celebrated your birthday, I think we talked to you right on your birthday, and then, of course, your dad's birthday was coming up. But for the holidays, people want to know so they can kind of walk in your footsteps. How does Kyle Petty do Christmas?
You know what? It's Christmas is family time, and that's how simple it is. My sister, I have a sister that lives in Richmond. She comes down. She has three kids. All our kids are grown now, so that's kind of it. But you know, we all get together at my dad's house. My mom passed away 2 or 3 years ago, so we'll be here until the 25th or 26th. You can't get rid of us. It's a Southern thing. Everybody goes home in the South at Christmas time, and we'll just be in and out, hang out. My father's race team is changing. They're switching from Ford to Chevy, and he's going to team up with Richard Childress Racing. So we'll probably make a trip over to Welcome to show everybody what the race shop looks like and see what things are, because you can't have Christmas without a race car. That's just a fact. And that'll be a part of it. Everybody just kind of hangs out and hangs together.
Well, bless you guys. You know, good luck with everything going on. Obviously, have a wonderful Christmas and, you know, start the new year right as well. We will have links up at WGNradio.com. But if you want to give the website out for the charity ride and for you as well before we let you go.
Yeah, the charity ride is CalPettyCharityRide.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is just KP Charity Ride. And to learn more about the Victory Junction Camp, go to victoryjunction.org.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for taking time out. Merry Christmas to you, everybody, the family, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for jumping on.
Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for having us.
That wasn't bad at all, really. 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. Lots of cars out and about Michigan Avenue in Chicago. People got to get where they're going, enjoying what is the holiday weekend that is kind of butting up against Christmas. So a lot of exciting things happening, certainly some shopping and some sightseeing and things like that. One of the things that has been a big part of people getting around to do whatever they do, whether it's heading out to shop, heading out to restaurants or clubs, or certainly getting to work and back, is the whole rideshare phenomenon, Uber and Lyft. It has changed the way that people are getting from point A to point B and doing it in a bunch of different ways, kind of genius ways. And I know the company itself and some of the executives and people involved have had trials and tribulations and been in the news for maybe less than the reasons that they would
that they would prefer, but it's kind of amazing when you think about it from the 10,000 foot view. It's an app, and for those people that haven't necessarily tried it or used it, it's an app that you can download on your phone, and it allows you to connect with people who are able to, willing to, and been vetted, which I think is important to give you that ride where it is that you need to go. And then from the driver's side, the riders have been vetted. So this isn't just like picking up, you know, a random person on a street somewhere, not knowing where they're going to go or where they want to go, or if they've got dollars to pay for the fare. And we hear those stories on the news, you know, a cab driver stabbed or robbed for it. You just don't have that with this. And so it's pretty neat. I think it's one of those not broke, don't fix it things. But Camille, you know, you printed out a story. GM is looking to do this. And we've got a story of, I think, Lyft, one of those services in Boston, that they're already doing some either trials or starting to have driverless cars.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the driverless. Maybe like a more educated, like you said, like the drivers are more educated on their passengers, or the passengers are more educated on their drivers. But
maybe a driver in a bubble or something, or maybe maybe driver assisted. So if they,
yeah,
you got to think that's the exception and not the norm, that you have problems, you know, with the driver. I mean, millions of people are doing this all the time. And they say they've had these trials and they've gone really well, no accidents, no problems. But you only have to be wrong once for people to say, like, I'd rather, even though it's human nature. We know that's why you have insurance, and it's why there's repair shops, so that, you know, people get in accidents. But it just seems, well, and here's all those other things that have nothing to do with not hitting anything. It's just like, what do you do if, let's say, and it happens, people get to their location, realize they need to be somewhere else. You know, how do you negotiate or explain something? You know, and I've heard the GPS on some of those, the ride isn't as great as maybe the one that you have on your phone. So how do you, what if it can't find where you, I don't know. There's just no one in, I'm sure they've got it all figured out, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. Because then, you know, the whole argument of, oh, you're going to get in a crash. Well, if you hop in a car with a normal Uber driver, you might get in a crash then too, you know, so.
Absolutely. So you know, I mean, now, have you done Uber and Lyft? Have you
all
done
the time?
Okay, so you do it all the time. Now, here's the reasons that they give. Now, we know, because we understand, you know, the world a little bit, and the business community, is you don't have to pay anybody. If you can have the car drive itself, then you don't have to pay someone to go ahead and do that. I get that. You're streamlining and making the business more profitable, but you know, that wouldn't necessarily make sense to you, the rider, Camille, right? It's not, you don't care.
Yeah, no. Right? I mean, but if it makes rides cheaper.
Maybe. I don't know why they would need to do that, because you're
that
still.
Would be nice.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would make sense. But here's the reasons that they're giving. And the quotes are, no longer will you have to have conversation with drivers that you don't want to have. And no longer that.
Oh, boo-hoo. Well, talk to the person who's driving you.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think you could just say, like, hey, I'm busy. I'm working on, you know, or what. Yeah. I don't know that that's a, you're not forcing a conversation on you. And no longer you have to listen to the music you don't want to listen to. And there will be no longer the, and they have this in quotes, or the creepy driver syndrome. Is that such a thing, the creepy driver syndrome?
I mean,
nah,
I don't know. I've been in Ubers where the people might, with my friends, they're weirder to me than if I'm alone. I know that's kind of weird, but I've had pretty much great experiences. I've only had to report one person, but because they were texting and driving on the street.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah. So,
well, yeah, okay. All right. Well, you know what? I think the motivation has got to be dollars, the business model. If you're a shareholder of those companies, you're probably looking forward to the time when they are driverless. But until then, I think it works pretty well the way that it is. And a lot of people, millions of people, would agree. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Chef Ron Ben Israel. We are going to have some people coming up in the spring taking a trip for those. And we've talked about it, you know, experiences as opposed to just material possessions, getting on the road to New York City. Ever been to New York City, Camille? What do you think?
I was just there in the spring.
Oh, my gosh.
I loved it.
Would you like to? Okay, so maybe a listener, and we're kind of working on that as we speak, and we've got to negotiate it to have a listener go out there and experience, you know, an elite baking class, 3 days with Chef Ron Ben Israel from Food Network. You know him as the sweet genius. He'll be on with us in just a second. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Chef Ron Ben Israel, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And on the line with us is truly one of the all-time greats. Cake fans will know him from his great work with Martha Stewart on Food Network and magazines around the world. And, of course, for making the most amazing wedding and event cakes on this or any other planet. He is the maestro of cake, the sweet genius himself, Chef Ron Ben Israel. Welcome to WGN.
Can I have this on tape as our greeting when people call the bakery? You're so good in introductions. I don't want to be introduced ever by anybody else.
Well, you know what? No, Chef, think about this. Remember, you know, in boxing, Michael Buffer used to say, let's get ready to rumble. You know, he was the guy that had to do it. Maybe I could be your official personal introducer.
You're hired, but you wouldn't say rumble with a cake, so let's ready to taste, or let's ready to eat, or let's ready to indulge.
Let's ready to ice.
There you go.
It was really nice. Well, this is...
The original title of Sweet Genius that we thought about was iced, meaning that you ice a cake, but also you get iced off the show.
Oh,
Sweet Genius one.
A little bit of a double entendre there. But you know what? When they could name it Sweet Genius and then you could become, you know, kind of the physical embodiment of it, I don't know that they intended for it to be a moniker that kind of stuck with you, but it totally fits. And, you know, when the bat signal comes out, you know, the Ron Ben Israel bat signal is up in the sky. People need you. You know, these are exciting times. It's holiday time. I wanted to ask, in New York, of course, you're doing so many holiday cakes. You have the entire world celebrating, but it isn't, you know, known so much for weddings. Cakes. Is it busier now, or is it busy or wedding season, or is New York always busy?
It's always busy. You know, when I started making cakes, especially for weddings, but also special occasions, we had two big seasons, the fall starting September through October, and then we had May and June. But now weddings are spreading all around. We have few weddings on New Year's Eve where people combine the personal celebration with the whole family and friends coming over. New York all around us, and people stay over and make a big weekend out of it. So there are no more limitations, and people getting married in, you know, if you have a Jewish holiday, people will get married there. If you have a Christian holiday, there's no stopping. People like to celebrate.
You know, they like to celebrate, and they celebrate with the cakes, and they know and love. They want to kind of follow in your frosting footsteps.
You're good.
If you will.
Frosting footsteps. Let me savor that.
But here's the thing. So obviously with the cakes themselves, but education, the experience things, people are doing that more and more. We talked a little bit about the classes off the air before we got on, and that is an exciting thing. You know, here in Chicago, Michael Jordan, great basketball player, one of the all-time greats, but he wasn't necessarily tried his hand at coaching. He wasn't a great teacher. Sometimes when people have a true gift, you know, like you do, it's sort of mysterious even to them, and it's hard to translate it to other people. So on the classes side, how do you handle that? You get people in. I'm sure some are more talented or more, you know, capable than others. How do you handle the teaching side?
It's a very interesting observation. But, you know, the reason the classes started is I wasn't necessarily looking to teach, but I needed to develop employees because I was working by myself and it wasn't logical anymore. It wasn't sustainable. So I needed to find people who will work with me in the same style and share the same values. So I started teaching at what was then the French Culinary Institute downtown Manhattan. It's now called the International Culinary Center. And I would have the students come and help me. And that's how I grew the business and the brand. So to this day, I look at teaching as something that I benefit from, not only honing my skills, but communicating and training the next generation. It's very rewarding and it's very practical as well.
It's the kind of thing, and not everybody gets into even the classes to somehow have this be their life or their career, their vocation. They just kind of want to learn things. I mean, the food fan today just loves to have that kind of immersive experience, and I think to be able to take it with you would be great. Now, you mentioned off the air that this is an extensive thing. This isn't just get in there and, you know, maybe an hour, have a glass of wine and have some fun. You can certainly do that.
Right.
You really get a lot of knowledge out of this.
Right. So what I do is, we don't call the classes amateur, but they're really open to everyone. So anybody who wants to put 3 days immersive experience is welcome. And you'll be surprised. Some people call themselves professionals, and they're actually less open to learn new tricks. And then you have some people who are come to me and say we are amateurs, but they end up the next three geniuses. So anyone is welcome as long as they want to experience.
I think that is what is going on the gift-giving side, too. It's always one. I always think about it, and probably, Chef, you fall down on this, too. It's not necessarily either or, but and. But from away from material possessions and more into experiences, and if you are a fan of cake, if you are a fan of food, this would be one of those once-in-a-lifetime kind of experiences to get in there and do it. So before we let you go, we're going to have the website up and all that so people can maybe give that during the holiday time. People can make their way to New York, or certainly, you know, we have a big reach, and people can see you and learn a little bit as well. One of the amazing things that you do outside of the techniques, and I know that is it, is that you are able to sit down and we talked about kind of honing those employees and shaping that next generation of people at Ron Ben Israel Cakes, is kind of taking what it is, whether it's disjointed thoughts or ideas or hopes or dreams from people when they sit down, and transforming that into exactly what they want. How hard is that? How hard is that for you to share with your employees, that whole kind of, you know, where you sit down, you listen, and then you kind of take it all in, and out pops magic.
Out pops magic. It's another one of Dane's pearls of the English language. I just want to say that it's not always a very logical process. You know, we prepare a lot. There are written instructions for people to take home, lots of samples, and we work side by side. But there is a magic that happens, and I always try to analyze it, and I fail. You know, it's something that people feel. Now, I approach it very logically. I was dancing for many years, and I still train. So I look a lot at the posture of the students who come in, the way they sit, the way they handle themselves. And we talk a lot about the use of the hands and the use of the shoulders and the neck, because when you're stressed, and the shoulders are tight, you won't be able to produce good sugar flowers or ice a cake properly. So I try to analyze it, and I try to pass it on. But ultimately what happens is sort of a miracle. You know, out of powdered sugar and some water and vegetable gums, you have a rose. So, and everybody has it a little different. The sugar flowers can be very expressive, and the way you position them on a cake, it's just a personal expression.
You know, when it comes to the clients and you're trying to take some of the stuff, you're taking yourself, right, and you're building all of kind of that love into it, and the influences that you've had with your family, and you've shared all of those kind of things. When clients come in or customers come in, do you ever kind of build in, especially at the holiday time, maybe build in some of your own memories or little techniques or things based around either your mom or your family that maybe even the clients don't even know?
Yes. Oh, you'll be so good in cakes. I wish you would come here and work with me. Because the whole, you know, of course we have portfolios, and we have a huge digital catalog online, and we have samples, and we serve cake here. But really what's important is creating a personal connection with the celebrants. And therefore, I encourage them to talk about themselves by sharing some anecdotes about myself. You know, and the parents many times come, and friends, and unfortunately, there may be some tensions and interactions between the celebrants because it's a stressful time to organize such a big event. So then I'll tell them a little bit about my parties and what I do for myself and what I like, and they open up and feel much more comfortable.
When it comes to that kind of recommendation, the things that brings people in, so many years of doing things in a great and a big way, the reputation is there, you're a legend in the business, and there is nothing more powerful, I think, than word of mouth or a trusted endorsement. But now you have gone even further, the social media side. I want to talk about this because you guys are so good at this, whether it's, you know, Twitter or Facebook, and certainly Instagram, I think, is really your jam, right? It's the medium where, because I think it falls into that whole, like, you know it when you see it, and a picture is worth a thousand words. I mean, talk about how social media has changed what it is you do and how you're able to really kind of share what it is and how you do it with everyone immediately.
Well, you know, I'm building up Instagram myself. That's my baby now. And it's amazing the reaction we get, but I always maintain that it's about the content. There is a side of Instagram that I dislike, which is very artificial, where you just pose for the camera. And I follow a lot of other designers in the fashion world, in the floral world, and you see when they post real content, when you have, like in our blog, for instance, which just launched last week, we're trying to bring not even just pictures of cakes, but what's the meaning behind it. So even though Instagram is very flashy and you see little pictures and you scroll on your phone, the idea is to show more about it. So I like to show behind the scenes. I like to show the people who make the cakes, introduce my employees. But it's never artificial. It always has integrity and content. And we're seeing it now that we launched a blog, which is called As the Cake Turns.
Nice.
How many hundreds of people log, and it's going to grow, because we're trying to find something different. We're almost philosophizing of the meaning of cake, how it relates to fashion, how it relates to celebration. There's so many things that I want to expand, and we don't have enough space on Instagram. So Instagram is the quick photo, and then you can go on to the blog and the website. But let me just repeat it. It's just like your interviews. Without having some content, some personal interaction, and contributing content, it would be very boring. We will just be complimenting each other the whole day. But we are really talking about things that are important to us and to the world, ultimately. Cake is important for the world.
Yeah, well, obviously, it is the thing in which with which we celebrate with. We celebrate around it. We tailor it to the celebrations as well. I think that, you know, on the Instagram, like a lot of times, they're static photos. But what it is it shows, and I'm sure for clients that come in, there are things that they see that you have done that they would never be able to get through, kind of, you know, if they're flipping through a book, you know, for a certain amount of time in a pressured situation, being there on site. And just the technique, sometimes I see those things, Chef. I'm like, I didn't know that was even possible. Hold that thought, because we've got to get to news. We've got a quick break and take the news. So, Chef, hold on. I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Ron Ben-Israel. Legend. He is the sweet genius himself from Food Network. And we come back, we're going to get into some of that process. And I know that you wanted to talk about some of the cool charitable things and ways that people can get involved, get to meet you, and, of course, come to New York, get on the road, and see you out at the bakery and at the shop in New York City. So, quick break here, and then we'll be back. We're going to send it to news and back more with Chef Ron Ben-Israel. Israel. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Guy Goody from Diners, Drivers, and Dives, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN. Put your seatbelt on. We're on the road.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And that's Guy Fieri. You just heard him. You know, he's been on the show a number of times. His first car was actually a Datsun 280ZX, which he used to actually drag race. So car guy and also a food guy as well. And you can have the bona fide ride of the show. All you have to do is share your first car, your dream car, or your favorite car. We've got a few in there now. So we've got Buick Skylark, a 69 Buick Skylark from the 219. That's a pretty good one. It'll be entered in to win the $25 gift card from Bona Beef. And I have also from the 847 a 73 Chevy Vega, the Vega. Wow, Vega doesn't get a lot of love, so to have a Vega, and each one is random, so if everybody can enter, and you can enter as many times as you want, you can send a picture, and Camille's going to announce the winner before the end of the show. Getting back to our guest chef, Ron Ben-Israel, you know him, you love him, he is one of the stars of Food Network, sweet genius, he is long time known for his work with Martha Stewart in magazines, and is one of the top and premier cake personalities in the universe, and I'm not even saying that, we don't know if there's life on other planets yet, but either for sure, not only New York, but global as far as his influence. And we're going to have an opportunity, I think, for listeners to get out there, get on the road and go to New York for a road trip coming up this spring and see him. And one of the things we asked before we ended up getting into the news is you look at the kind of the prominence that you've done with social media and with Instagram, being able to showcase some of the things that you're able to do. It's amazing. And I think it's really added to just letting people know what's out there. Because some of the things you see that you're doing, it doesn't even look possible.
Yes. And we discover all the time, you know, one of the greatest way to invent new things is to make mistakes. And we have a sign on the refrigerator here at the kitchen, always make new mistakes. So, you know, once I spluttered some silver and gold container on the tabletop, and it hit a cake, and it created a whole new effect. So now we combine this splatter techniques on live cakes, and it looks amazing. It looks like a modern art piece.
See,
so it came out of a mistake.
So, well, here's the thing. This is the double-edged sword of it all, right? You can make a mistake, and then people are going to see it. They're going to want it, right? Or they see some of the things that you're done, and they come in. They say, "I want that." How do you find yourself, or is this even an issue, or do you just kind of steer them through the consultation process into kind of making something that is truly unique? But do you have people coming and say, "I saw that. I want it. It's perfect," and you find yourself making a lot of the same cakes?
There's always a variation because the numbers change. I love working with grays. It's been about 2-3 years now that we introduced gray icing, but we have a color wheel, and there are hundreds of different shades of gray. Gray can be warm, it can be cold, it can be bluish or purplish. So ultimately, each client will choose their own specific shade of purple. But I can give you an example. Yesterday, we had two separate brides planning their winter weddings. And one of them worked in a very interesting way. She eliminated the cake design she did not like. So that was very engaging because we went through hundreds of photos and we kept narrowing down until we found out a direction. The other bride that came later was totally the opposite. She loved everything. So we had to play with it. You know, together we played and she said, well, I like this and I like this and I like this. So I had to start closing the books and sketching from scratch, and then I showed her how the vision can come together. And I collected elements that she liked, and we came up with a brand new thing. So both appointments were very fruitful and entertaining and engaging, and both brides will get unique cakes that they're only for them. Nobody else will have exactly the same.
You know, and at their event, and especially for weddings, right, it's this whole thing. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be unique. It's got to be them. One of the things, it's another kind of double-edged sword that you have, is you're creating probably one of the most honored guests at the event is your cake. It isn't just a, you know, something on the side, something with candles to blow. You're creating celebrities in the cake right there. And I read online a little bit where, you know, some of the reviews where there was a line of people, 100 deep just to take pictures of the cake, of themselves with the cake. Do you ever worry? Because you know this, right? With the brides, you know, they specifically, we hear about the bridesmaid dresses have to be, you know, in sort of way so that they don't outshine the bride. Do you ever have to kind of tone down the awesome, you know, because you don't want to overshadow
everybody enjoys having unique items in their weddings, and obviously I'm not a shy person, and the cake shouldn't be shy. They could be maybe held back because that's the desire of the celebrant, but we're part of the occasion, and the cake also is a very dramatic presentation because it's the last ceremony of the evening where the bride and groom or the celebrants come together and cut the first slice of the cake, feed each other, kiss with a mouthful of our cake. Hopefully they enjoy it. And then they will because they chose it. And then the cake is shared by all the guests. And that's a wonderful way to participate.
We're letting the listeners know we're talking with the legend himself, the sweet genius, Chef Ron Ben Israel, in New York. And One of the other things, one of the last things that we wanted to talk about too, you get to that point where you, and I always think about this, you know, on a regular basis, that's what I do is I interview the personalities of the food world. Oftentimes, many of them are celebrities, and it's really great to see some of them using that as a platform to affect change, to help people, to kind of share things, to support causes and those things. You have the ability to create celebrities in your cakes on a regular basis that can be, like I said, honored guests at events and or star attractions at things. And so let's talk about some of the ways that you're doing this, whether it's, icing smiles, whether it's City Harvest, some of the ways you're using what it is that you do and kind of putting those cakes to work for good.
Right. I'm so glad and grateful that you brought it up. A lot of people are generous and they donate money many times for political causes. But City Harvest, which is the first organization in the world that was created by chefs and media people in New York City over 25 years ago, was designed to curb hunger. And what they did is they started collecting food, leftover food from restaurants and hotels, and distributing it to soup kitchens. And today, the organization is a model for many organizations like that all over the world. And it's the biggest one in the United States. So we have fleets of vans and large kitchens where we collect a lot of food. And of course, it takes a lot of money to sustain such an organization. So one way is we do galas and fundraisers where thousands of people would attend a culinary night where all the chefs will prepare food and also will auction off special cakes and goods during that event to raise money to sustain the organization. But another way that I found to raise funds are, we offer, many times we will have a couple that would want a very, very tall cake, and you really wouldn't need that much cake. So we build in additional tiers of cake that will be picked up by City Harvest the next day and distributed to the homeless and the hungry. And that way the celebrants have a way to do charity while they celebrate, and they basically share the joy and plenty.
I think it's a great opportunity. It's great to be aware of it and to be able to use what it is you do to kind of, you know, raise awareness. I think that's one of the most powerful things. You mentioned it, you know, and there's a lot of generous people out there, and certainly there's a lot of ways to support causes, and that is a great one as well. You know, people kind of give of their financial resources, but if you can do something that inspires greater than the sum of the parts, so to speak, right, inspires other people to do the same and then be able to raise awareness too of whatever the issue is in the first place, I think that's fantastic.
Yes. And there's so many, so bakers love to be involved in the community. We are serving people who celebrate the occasions. So an organization was formed called Icing Smiles, where the tagline is, we are baking a difference.
Nice. Them,
yeah,
I've got to recognize that is a very nice one.
So the website is icingsmiles.org, and most of the members are bakers, pastry chefs, cake designers, and they try to provide cakes and create a smile on faces of babies and children who are living with terminal or very serious maladies and diseases. So we want to create smiles through our baking.
You know, what we're going to do is we're going to have links to both of those, whether it's Icing Smiles or whether it's City Harvest. We're going to have links up at WGNRadio.com. And before we let you go, you want to share any different information about the classes, information about the website, maybe reinforce again the blog, the kind of things where people, because I always love to show how people can keep up with all your adventures, but when they can get sort of that inside look into the day-to-day stuff, I think that's special.
Yeah, thank you for offering that. It's very easy to reach us through our main website, weddingcakes.com. It's one word in plural. The reason I got weddingcakes.com is because nobody knew who I was, and my friend said, let's just register weddingcakes.com so people can find you.
Because you're the sweet genius. That's, you know, that's the kind of thing right now. It makes you, I didn't know if you knew at the time. You knew, of course, it is what it is. It says what it does. It makes a lot of sense. That's amazing, though, right? I mean, how valuable is that now? Have you ever looked at it? You know, sometimes they have a site that says, you know, your website or your domain is worth whatever. It's got to be incredible.
It's probably quite profitable. And, you know, one way, because luckily over the years I've created a reputation for myself and my work, eventually I wouldn't mind giving away that name. So maybe that would be a great way for charity to auction the name.
Oh, wow. Well, we'd have to find the biggest and best occasion, because you can only do that once. But the one thing you can do is you can see him on a regular basis. If you are lucky enough to be in the room with one of his creations, you are very fortunate. If you're lucky enough to have it be one that you've ordered and helped design, you are truly fortunate. And weddingcakes.com is the website. And then, so Chef, any other places? Are you doing any events? Are you going to be doing any more TV? I know we love to see you. The fans always are excited about that.
I really would love to do more TV. It's a matter of timing, because most of my time is here at the bakery. And I do travel. I have two ways that I lecture and demonstrate. One is through cake convention. Believe it or not, almost every week around the world, there'll be some kind of a cake congress, a convention devoted to sweets. It's endless. So the next big one that I'm doing is called L.A. Cookie Con. Believe it or not,
nice. It's
a cookie con. I think it's going to be our fourth year, and it's going to be held in February 9th, 10th, and 11th in L.A. in the big convention center. So one way is to meet me there, and I usually demonstrate and do a presentation and meet thousands of people. Last time we had 15,000 visitors.
Wow.
So, amazing. People love cake and cookies and sweets. So I do a few of those around the year. Last one already passed in October in Orlando. And also they're becoming popular around the world. So I occasionally go to Paris or London to do some of these. And also I enjoy speaking to the wedding community, the party planners, the organizers. So these are usually more dedicated to the professionals who later serve the public, but they are always interested to know about trends and so forth. So through social media, our Facebook, Instagram, they all have the same handle, RBI Cakes for short. I don't assume that people would spell my name correctly, so RBI Cakes. The website and the blog is connected to the website. The name of the blog is As the Cake Turns.
Ah, that's so good.
I was trying to do my Dane Neal shtick, you know, like, what would the Dane call a new blog? That's what I came up with.
That's what I would call it. That's what it definitely gets my stamp of approval, as of course, all of your creations do for people around the world. It is no surprise that people love cakes. They love sweets. They love the opportunity to interact with you. Cookie Con out in Los Angeles in February. I'm sure you'll be running into our mutual friend, Duff, out there as well. And for those people...
Yes. Oh, you should see both of us together.
What do you guys do? I can imagine. So New York is one thing, and of course, he's an East Coast guy from Baltimore. But when you guys are there on the beach, are you on the sand? You got the towels out? You know, are you just relaxing,
no,
getting some sun?
We are both hams. We like being on stage. We like meeting people. And I think last time we did 2 years ago, we were together in the LA Cookie Con. They had to call security to get us off the stage. We just didn't want to leave.
Oh my gosh, that is, oh my gosh. All right, we love what you do. You know, we are not alone. So many people around the world. WeddingCakes.com is the place to get all the information. RBI Cakes on social media as well. So I want to wish you a happy holidays. Enjoy everything you're doing, including all of the work, helping all of the people. We'll have links as well. And Chef Ron Ben-Israel, thanks so much for being on WGN today.
Thank you, Dane. You are the radio chef. You know, chef means a master, so you are the master of what you do. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, I'm John Force, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN. Love your show, and love Joliet.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace?
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And, I mean, people, thank you for a lot of the people that are coming in. So many great comments coming in for all the stuff that is going on. Certainly our wonderful guests. It was great to have Kyle Petty on, certainly Ron Ben-Israel. And you have an opportunity. It's an eclectic blend. We'll talk a little bit about some of the cars and the drivers and the race and some of the travel. And people have said, hey, you're going to win. So someone is going to have the bona fide ride of the show today, and we're going to run through some of those. We've got from the 630, my first car that I purchased for $500 was an 8-cylinder 72 Ford Maverick. The Maverick. Wow. My grandma had a Maverick. It was the stripped-down version. I don't even know if it had a radio because it would have cost extra money, and she figured, what does she need a radio for? She could just go ahead and sing. So with a vinyl roof, shag carpeting, leather, reclining bucket seats, and a kicker box. So that was pretty good. So for the 630, from 708, 1973 Regal, bought from a dealer, first loan, age 19, and drove it home 1 mile away from the dealer, and it started on fire.
I saw that text. I hope we were going to read that text. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, it's one thing to have a car that starts on fire. It's another thing to get to have a loan and make payments on it that you could probably dispute than handing the guy a wad of cash and then trying to track him down later. Because I think, I'm not sure what the law says, but once you take possession of the car, if it bursts into flames, he'd probably say, maybe
no, it's your fault.
It's your fault. It's your fault. Did you ever, Camille, and I know you have, but maybe friends or family that ever got a car that in the used car world that maybe didn't work out as well?
No. My dad just purchased a new used car, and it hasn't burst into flames yet. So
you just jinxed them.
Sorry.
312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call, you can send some pictures, and we've got some amazing ones, so we're going to be able to share those as well. From the 708 2004 Saturn Ion. See, this is very practical. Probably got good gas mileage. The Saturn doesn't exist anymore. It's one of those cars that's no longer available. The 708, my first car, was a 1962 Volvo P1800. Wow, an old Volvo. You know, Volvos are, you know, it's a luxury car right now. I don't know that it was necessarily back in 1962, but it's always sort of had that image of being
a very safe car, mm-hmm. you know, very quality safe car. From the 630, we had a 1969 Mustang Grand. So I think that's pretty good. Yeah, sounds good. Well, we've had some Mustangs win.
Yes.
And then the 815, a 68 Karmann Ghia convertible. The Karmann Ghia, of course, a Volkswagen product. And that was, I don't know that we've had any of those win necessarily, mm-hmm. but those are pretty great. This is one that cars can bring people together for conversations. We talk about the, you know, the cruise nights and the car shows around Chicagoland. We'll be doing the show from them a number of times throughout the course of the spring and summer, maybe a little bit into the fall as well. But it brings conversations, brings people from different generations. They get together, and regardless of how old you are, how young, you can enjoy the cars, and people kind of sit around and talk about them. But oftentimes, the car can kind of be that conduit to love, Camille. I don't know. Have you ever had a boyfriend that that you met that you really liked his car? No.
Can I tell you what kind of car my boyfriend had before he just got a new one?
Okay. Now, did he get a new one because of your dissatisfaction with the old one?
No, he got a new one because he had to tape the hood down with duct tape.
Well, because you don't want it to fly off. You got to tape it down.
Yeah. We'd have to, like, exit off of 294 and put more tape on. Yeah. So, no, he did not get me with the car. It was the personality.
Oh, see, that's it. Well, sometimes the cars have personality. 630, this is a great one. We're going to have some pictures up. I think we'll actually put this up at WGNRadio.com. He met his wife with a 1973 MG Midget. Now, those are very small cars. I had a Triumph Spitfire when I was, you know, a lot younger. Very small car. But it's along those same lines. I got a British car, and they don't really work well in the wintertime. They've got kind of like the heat sensor, kind of warms up. I remember we had one of those in college as well. So the 73 Midget, 35 years later, she ended up getting him. She bought him one that's in, it looks from the pictures, of course, they're aww. Small, a better one in better condition, an MGB. And so that's
awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So when we come back from this break, I definitely want to take a little bit of time and talk about the ultimate Florida family road trip. We've talked about going on some of these road trips coming up a little bit after the new year. We're going to start talking about it. You'll have a chance to enter to win, but I want input from the listeners on things to build into the trip. So here's the basic framework. It's going to be a week in Florida, your choice on the week that you want to do whatever works best for you instead of just a trip for two someplace. This is kind of a family road trip. You can bring as many as 10 people along with. You can go to globalresorthomes.com and kind of look at some of the different ones that are available. You can pick out the home that fits for you. They're all great. You know, I think they're all great. They sleep a lot of people, a lot of bedrooms, a lot of bathrooms, luxury kitchens. They have their own pool. You have your own grill, your own barbecue situation. You might not want to leave the house, but we're also going to build in some activities, maybe one trip to SeaWorld for everybody, maybe something Disney related, maybe Gatorland. Have you ever been to Gatorland, Camille?
Maybe.
It's packed with gators.
I went to something in the Everglades that was like definitely not a legal zoo.
Oh, well, this is not that.
Oh, okay.
This is,
never mind.
They don't make you sign a waiver form saying if you're eaten by a gator that you can't sue them. No, Gatorland is actually really cool. If you're into animals and you want to get up close and personal with 1,000 man-eating gators, boom, it is the place for you. But so we'll have some activities there, but it's going to be based around, you know, the house and the area, and they've got on-site, you know, a water park and all those kind of amenities as well. So it is absolutely awesome. The other thing too is when you get down there, it's going to be a road trip. You're going to have to get yourself there. I think we're going to maybe build in a cool car to be able to drive while you're there. And then we're going to stock the house so that you don't have to miss Chicago too much. So we're going to have some great Chicago. Hopefully, so we'll have some bone of beef, some kits. You can make your own beefs there. Maybe some steaks, maybe some wines, maybe some beers, some craft beers from here. Certainly some great candies and breads and all sorts of things. But here's the way that you can kind of add into the suggestion part of it is ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com. Just email Camille here at ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com and put in the suggestions of the things that you'd love to see built in to the family road trip, whether it's an experience that you could have down in the Orlando area, whether it is things to build into the house as far as some great food, wine, spirits, beer, candy, pop, soda, you know, things to do, that kind of stuff, things that we might have as far as kind of the ride that you'll have while you're down there. Check into all those things. ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com, you can suggest what you're doing in the next couple of weeks. We're going to kind of launch it and have an ability to kind of get involved. And we've got to read some of these too, because someone really deserving is going to win the bona fide ride of the show as we get into Christmas. Right now, though, it is 3:30 and news time. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Gregory Alonso from Speakeasy Customs in talking about how to update. Oh, we have another. Oh, geez, really?
All right, we're going to take a 20-second break. Then we're going to come back. Then we're going to send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road with Dane live here. Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And just a day or so before Christmas. And people are hoping that under the tree that there will be... I don't know if you can fit a tree. It depends on how big your tree is, right? If you're maybe a super billionaire, maybe your tree's big enough to put some cars under there and have them kind of blend in with the other gifts. Or maybe they do one of those things you see on television I've never experienced firsthand where maybe there's a box under there with some car keys, right? And then there's a car with a giant bow on top of it in the driveway. Has that ever happened? Well, a guy who makes dreams come true and allows people to have some of their dream cars and have them maybe in ways that they never even dreamed of, maybe even better than they ever were, is Gregory Alonzo. He's over there at Speakeasy Customs and Classic. He is in studio with us as well. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Glad to be here again.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great to have you. Is this, and we've got so many people that are sending in their cars for the bona fide ride of the show. So many great stories. You know, and I was talking with Greg a little bit during the break, too, is they're not all like famous muscle cars or Corvettes. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we had the Vega, you know, like a Saturn, you know, you had like a, there's a 77 Monza that somebody had sent in. And, you know, these are the kind of cars, regardless of what it is, if it's their first car, people that are attached.
Yeah, you get that all the time. We have, we actually have a Volvo at the shop. It's nothing special, but this guy was going to pay us to restore it for him because it was, reminds him of his first car. And he just loves this car, and he found another one, and he wants us to restore it for him. So it's that passion that people have for their cars that always sticks with them, no matter how, where they go in life.
Even this week, we had an older Volvo. It was like somewhere in the 60s for a Volvo. Now, Volvo nowadays is a luxury car, right?
Yes.
It's one of those things. But in the past, I don't know if it was always a luxury car, but it was always seen as like a reliable, really safe car,
family,
right?
That car,
was,
yeah, family dependable car, yeah.
So when it comes to like your favorite cars, and you guys are attached and associated with Cadillacs, it's something that you guys love, maybe have a specific fondness for, and really love to do. But you know, I see on social media you're doing a bunch of all different kinds of cars. But is like for you personally, is there like what is it that gets it for you? The kind of car that you would be fixing up, that you would be kind of that you would be repairing, customizing, regardless of whether you were being paid for or not. What kind of cars are your favorites?
Well, right now I'm kind of leaning towards lowriders. I've been partnering with a guy, Mondo Alba, who has a Mondo's Customs here in Chicago as well. And we've been collaborating with him a lot. And the primary cars that we build there are lowriders. A lot of Impalas from the 60s, you know, early 60s Impalas. And then we do a lot of bombs. They call them bombs.
What does that mean?
It's... typically, they're 40s, 50s Chevys with a lot of curves to them.
Kind of big, kind of, I don't say bulbous, but like bigger
bulbous
fenders and kind of round.
Right? A lot of round fenders, a lot of round hoods, round roofs. And one of the cool things is a lot of them, they put sirens in the cars, like air raid sirens. So, and this kind of goes along with the names of being bombs. So,
right.
So like, we do a lot of customizing there and putting in the sirens and doing a lot of the hydraulics and air ride systems, and custom paint jobs. So it's a lot of fun. And those are the kind of cars I've been leaning towards recently. I personally am building a 66 Corvair, that we're going to be putting on a low ride, air ride system. So it's going to be a very unique car. We're going to put some nice big spokes on it, and we're designing it kind of with a Ferrari feel, '60s Ferrari feel.
Okay, all right.
Well, I could show you a drawing. I have some on my website where, if you first glance, you can see it.
Well, the Corvair, it's like rear engine. It was one of those things, and some things you just can't explain, right? Their fan base is greater than the sum of the parts. On paper, the cars weren't, you know, they weren't especially, I don't know, attractive or maybe fast, or there wasn't really anything about them, but some of them just have caught on with people.
Yeah.
And they've got a fan base. For the Corvair, I know we've talked with people where people, I think the government was out to get them at a time, and right, they were kind of just defending the Corvair. It was part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's ironic that a lot of the stuff that they said about them really wasn't true. They were very dependable cars. They might not have been great in winter, but they were dependable cars. And the fun thing about them, like you said, is their rear engine. And there's not a whole lot of American rear engine cars.
Yeah, so a little bit of the history. So yeah. People are loving that. Yeah, there's some Corvair clubs that are out there, and people are enjoying that. You mentioned the lowrider stuff, and mm-hmm. and we kind of intimated that at times you can take some of these cars from the past that people are really fond of and maybe build in either some modern conveniences, you know, maybe some of the things that people appreciate in cars that they have that didn't exist back when they were made, or just make them kind of cooler. You mentioned like the lowrider thing, and that for the listeners, you know, out in Los Angeles, that's where you see a lot of that stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Is it big here? I know there's some clubs and everything. Is it a
there
big?
There are a lot of clubs here. Yeah, and it is a big growing family oriented group of people that there's a number of different clubs that are very lowrider oriented, and the Midwest isn't very common, like you said, for lowrider. So there's not a whole lot of people out there that build them here in the Chicago area. We're one of a few shops that actually customized in that fashion.
For those people that don't know, it's more than just the fact that they ride low to the ground, and we get a lot of potholes here. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, Greg.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But occasionally, because of the weather and all that kind of stuff, maybe the low, you wouldn't want to have it be riding low all the time. But there is a lot more to it, right? So what is involved with putting a low rider together? The hydraulics are there, right, where it can actually, yes. If you've seen it on, you know, YouTube or some of those videos or on television or in your neighborhood, and I'm saying this for the listeners, you know, they can... There's just a lot of things going on, right? They can do tricks and all sorts
of
stuff.
They can do a lot. They can take them to the point where they make them dance. They call them dancing lowriders, right. Where they actually bounce. But then to do something like that, you have to literally wrap the entire frame in a quarter inch steel to strengthen the frame. And right. It makes it a very hard, heavy car. And it's amazing that they could even bounce them as high as they do. There's a lot of different things. You can make them ride on three wheels and have them ride at really high ride heights, like unusual ride heights and really low ride heights. There's a lot of different things that they can do. And then just as far as not just the hydraulics, there's a lot of customizing that goes into the paint jobs, a lot of silver leaf and custom pinstriping and artwork. Some of the paint jobs that they do on these cars can cost tens of thousands of dollars with multiple layers of paint and artwork and striping, and it's amazing.
So regardless of what the car can do on the hydraulic side or even how high it rides or how low it rides, there are certain paint schemes that are just more indicative of that style of vehicle.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, a lot of people, they don't necessarily want to dance them. They want the hydraulics, but they want them to be beautiful show cars. And the problem is when you end up dancing them, damage happens and you end up having to constantly repair and fix. And,
well, that's where you come in.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's the key is depending on exactly what kind of car you want. And that's where we come in, where we can sit down with you and talk to you and figure out what exactly is it that you want to build. We also work with designer Mike Herbert, who can sit down with them and actually draw out the vehicle that they're picturing in their mind and show it to them before we even start to build it, where we can say, is this what you have in mind? And they can say, yeah, but I want you to tweak this, or maybe you can change this. And we'll sit down and make those adjustments before we make a final rendering.
Some of those cars could fit into the category of dream car.
Oh yeah,
right. And and so those would be able, I mean, so you could take that car, you can kind of enter it in, and maybe you could be have the bona fide ride of the show. We're going to run through a couple of these, and we'll be back with Greg in just a minute. We're going to talk about some of the cars he's working on now, some of the ways that you can get kind of your car, I guess, involved with it, a little bit of the cost and some of the expertise, because you've got an amazing group of talented designers, not only on the steel side, but the artistic side, the paint side, and then even on the tech side. So we'll talk about that. But here it is in 312-981-7200. Still another 10, 15 minutes to get in and get in on the bona fide ride of the show, brought to you by Bona Beef. Get the $25 gift card from Bona Beef, plus some serious bragging rights as well. And we mentioned, you know, it really does run the gamut. They're not always, it's not always a Ferrari or a Corvette or a big muscle car. The 2009 Ford Focus from the 224, then 773. This kind of fits into the cool category. Kind of an interesting way to get it, though. The 72 Cutlass Supreme. My 90-year-old grandpa gave it to me when they finally took his license away. But I'm sure hopefully you gave him some rides, right?
Yeah,
you know, let him ride it a little bit from the 773. 815. And this was it. My first car was a gold 1977 Chevy Monza. And we've seen a green one up there with some kind of souped up wheels. And I never thought of the Monza as a kind of a sports car, but some of these pictures look great. 66 Chevrolet Impala. And then from the 708, a 69 Camaro Z28. Ooh, and the reason that they should win is because they're driving the Z28 right now. They stopped to take a picture while everyone else's cars were at home. And I'm driving it now, listening to your great show. Well, thanks for the compliments. I got to take a look at that. I got to get over the screen. Camille will print that out as well. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Greg Alonzo from Speakeasy Customs and Classics, and find out how you can have your dream car kind of put into motion and actually become a reality. So stay tuned. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, and kind of highlighting some of the entrants here that are vying for the bona fide ride of the show, sending them in. You can do the same, 312-981-7200. You can send it in, you can text it in, you can send some pictures. We've seen some amazing ones. You can call, you can give it to Camille as well. And in studio with us, talk a little bit about some of these cars and how he is making some of those cars, those dream cars, a reality for people over at Speakeasy Customs, is Gregory Alonzo. So, Greg, welcome back to WGN.
Thanks again, Dean.
That's all right. Hey, we've got Dean Richards here. He's a Walk of Famer, and if I can be confused for him in broadcasting ways, then that, I think that's awesome. So here's the thing is, and it, you think in some ways the fastest car, the best car, the most expensive, the coolest looking cars would be the ones that people would be mostly attached to, and I think that does happen. But we're seeing, you know, ones that people, you know, whatever kind of emotional attachment, whether it's history, was their first car, people love their cars. 74 Monte Carlo is my car. Someday we'll get another one of those.
I'd be glad to help you out with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, as with some of these other ones. And we wanted to mention, you know, like a 66 Chevelle, 396. Now the Chevelles have been popular for long time. 630 sent in a 1975 Hurst Old that they got, and then in 1977 it was stolen in Milwaukee. So sometimes the ways that people lose the car isn't necessarily, you know, some kind of a pleasant thing. You know, Camille said one car, what was it? It was your family member that it lit on fire. It was immediately on fire or something.
Oh, it wasn't me. That was a texter.
Oh, the texter. Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. I would feel bad for you, Camille. Right. So so sometimes it happens that way. So you, I'm sure, hear a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. People come in with what it is that they want. How often is it where they say, Greg, I've always wanted this. Go help me find it. Help me make it great. Help me make it greater than it was. Or do you have people that say, I've had this in my garage for 20 years. I'll never get to it. Please, Greg, help.
Honestly, I think it's probably the latter happens more often. The fact that they've already got the car, it happens more often than them coming to me and saying, I'm trying to find this car. I do have a cousin who's looking for a Mustang. I'm trying to help him find that. But for the most part, we have people come to us and they say, oh, I've had this car in my garage for years, or I just bought this car and I have a plan for it. I have a vision for it. And that's, you know, when you sit down with them and talk it out.
But when it's been years and you've had that plan and that vision, there's a part of that plan that is missing.
Yes.
And it's the execution side of it, which is the thing that you guys do. So explain that process. So let's say somebody, you know, our vast listening audience, there are a lot of people that have probably cars that could use a little bit of attention, or maybe a lot of attention. So how does it work? They come in, they talk to you, and then do they usually share what it is they want, or do you wow them with things you can do?
First, we usually give them a tour of the shop and we show them around. We show them what we can do, some of the examples of work that are already in there. And then we start talking to them about, well, what is it that you had in mind? What are you looking for? How far do you want to take this build? Do you just want a little refresher? Are you talking a frame off restoration? But depending on their answer, we just kind of veer off in two different directions. If it's just a small restoration, you know, it's more simple, less design work, and it's more of just refreshing the car. But if they want to do a full frame off restoration, now we can have some fun. We can do custom dashboards. You can make a custom consoles, custom work for the trunks, the engine work. You know, a true show car should look like a jewelry box when you open up the hood. You know?
Yeah.
And it should just sing to you when you open it. So it just depends on how far they want to take that project. And we're ready to work with them on any level. We can, like I said before, we can work with Mike Herbert and have them sit down with him for a few hours. And what he does, he likes to sit down with them and find out some of their likes and dislikes as far as what kind of music you like? What kind of movies do you like? What's your favorite movie?
Really?
Colors.
So you kind of get into the personality
exactly.
of the person.
He brings that into the build and not just, okay, what's your favorite color? You know, what kind of material do you like? No, he goes a little further than that. He sits down, he puts together what he calls a mood board of images from those things that these people said that they like, and he will use that to stare at while he's designing the vehicle.
What?
And he'll come up with a
so
with a
there's special. Like so, there's like some kind of psychic abilities that go out right
oh,
so
yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
magical.
Yeah, and as a designer, I would imagine his mind just kind of flows in that direction, that he when someone tells him they like something, he can probably read from that right away what the direction that they'd want to go in,
you know, because you can be one of those individuals that can love a car or a certain car or appreciate it, but it's a true gift to be able to kind of dream up stuff. And it's even on like the interior decorator side, you know, like those designers or architects, right? Where you mm-hmm. can see it's easy for a lot of us to come in and say like, wow, that's cool. But would you have ever come up with it in the first place? And the answer is no,
probably right? not. Right. And you know, like I, for example, I'm one of my personal builds I'll be working on in the next couple of years is a 47 Cadillac, personal limousine that I'm going to be making into a bomb. Like we talked about.
Wow.
Chopped roof, air ride and everything. But the fun thing is, like, I called Mike one day and I told him about the car and what I wanted for it. Over like a 15-minute conversation of a description of what I had in mind, he came up with a drawing a few days later, and it was like, wow, that's almost exactly what I had in my
head. He's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's in there somehow. He's really good at coming up with an exact image of what you have in your head.
I know you mentioned the Impalas and some of the things you like with that. Mm-hmm. From the 608, a 62 Impala wagon, 396 four-speed, first car, paid $100. Wow. And it ended up getting stolen. So the Impalas are something that's popular, and well, wagon, that's pretty
funny.
Cool.
That's the
wagons.
Second time you mentioned somebody's car was stolen. I would imagine having your car stolen would give you a certain bond to that car that you're going to want to get back to that car someday because you weren't finished with it.
Yeah, you know? You would somehow rescue it, somehow wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Right, bring it back, right?
Right the wrong. So you think about this, and I'm sure a lot of the people that come in and sit in and talk with you at Speakeasy, in their mind, they have imagined 1,000 times them, you know, riding on a sunny day or taking it to the car show mm-hmm. or doing whatever they would like to do with their car that's in pieces in the garage, like once it is finished. So talk a little bit about, we've got a couple minutes here, sure. some of the things that you get to do with some of the cars that you do where, and we've had these people on, had and featured these events, given away free tickets. Some amazing cars are there, and some of them are cars that you've had a hand in, is whether it's World of Wheels or whether it's the Muscle Car Show. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, actually, this year in March in World of Wheels, we're going to, myself and Mondo's Customs will have a number of vehicles there that we've worked on. One of a 47 Chevy Bomb, a green 47 Chevy Bomb, that we did a two-link suspension in the rear, put in a five-speed floor-shifting transmission in there, a T5 transmission. And right now we're also working on a 53 Chevy pickup. That same thing.
Pickups.
Yeah, and we're doing a Mustang 2 conversion on the front end, a two-link suspension in the rear. The same five-speed transmission is going in with the original inline-six engine. So this whole, almost everything about this car underneath is being redone, and we're redoing the hydraulics, so it's going to be a hidden system, so it won't be all in the open in the bed.
We're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to pick our bona fide ride of the show. You still have a couple seconds to go ahead and text in 312-981-7200 or call in with it. Last thing, in 15 seconds, Greg,
it
trends just like anything else. Is there like a car that is maybe from the past or present or future that's like really popular, like a really hot car that everyone wants right now?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. There are so many different models that are so special to so many different people. I think it's really difficult to pick an individual car that was like a favorite.
Well, you never know, right? Where something, but, you know, maybe it's something. Well, give it some thought. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to choose our bona fide ride of the show from Bona Beef, and we'll wrap it up and send it to the Beat. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road with Dane, wrapping things up here, and we've got our Greg Alonzo from Speakeasy Customs and Classics is in studio. And so you're saying that, like, if you had to think of one car that's really hot right now, it's the Corvair, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty popular car right now. There's a lot of clubs that are out there, and I just read an article recently about they're very popular because they're so cheap and easy to find right now, and there's so many different things you can do with a Corvair and have a lot of fun with them.
And stay tuned for the Beat. Andy Mazur, you've got a history with the Corvair
as well?
Oh,
yeah. My parents had two. My dad drove a 64 white with a red interior.
Wow.
And my mom had a yellow one.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Now, you're thinking back to revisit your child? Do you want one of those back? You want to sit
I would love to have one of those back, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think my dad would love to have one back, too.
We'd be happy to help okay. you.
Got to talk to Greg. Last, very, very last thing is, second to last thing. Greg, give your email address out if people want to ask you any questions about cars or get involved with Speakeasy.
Sure, you can reach us at speakeasycars@gmail.com.
Speakeasycars@gmail.com. And Camille, our bona fide ride of the show winner is...
It is from the 630, the 1973 MG Midget, because I loved that story so much.
Well, there's some love in there. Love stories are great.
So I'll be giving them a call.
Congratulations to those guys. Right now it is straight up 4 o'clock, and this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.